Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the final edition of this series of The Bigger Picture. This is Program 13. Segment 1 is about to begin. I am Marshall Wood, your host, as I've been for this series and the other Bigger Picture series that we did earlier. All of them began on the 1st of April. And this series will be followed by a third four-program section called The Bigger Picture, It Is What It Is. But we want to wrap up the program today here on AM 1100 WCGA, wonderful coastal Georgia, with some pretty sober thoughts about the future of, well, America and Georgia, since the same cancer is present in both. And what began to metastasize in this country in the early 30s with a cultural Marxist has particularly metastasized in the important national organ of the state of Georgia. When I finished Program 12 the other day, I had been talking about the three, just the number of people in the state of Georgia government that are you have to ask questions about their background and to see who they're connected to and things they've done in the past. Because if you don't do your homework, you just accept these folks as face value. But some real questions emerge. I don't have enough time in this program to give you the data. But what I can do is raise questions in your mind so those of you with an intellect and a will to do so can go yourself and look up these people that are so spiteful against the way of traditional way that America has lived, or that are doing things that really are against the Constitution for some reason. You know, the millions of attorneys in this nation who should know better are not standing up and taking action. A few are, but not many. But let's proceed on now into Program 13, the final program, Segment 1, with this thought. I want to go back and talk about three black female faces, and yes, I keep hitting the black issue over and over again, but folks, that's what the Marxists have brought us to, as I'm going to discuss with you later on in this program. It is a liberal black Marxist female face against maybe the square jaw Republican traditional male who says that the way we've been doing things is really pretty good, that the seven heavenly virtues of humility, charity, chastity, gratitude, temperance, patience, and diligence have been good enough for our forefathers, it ought to be good enough for us now. Or those four natural virtues of prudence. Take a look at those people leading you and ask questions. Temperance, humility, and justice. And justice right now is a word with many meanings, and some are false meanings, and we're buying those with a false meaning. And then those traditional men that say, well, we believe in those three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That is what has made America great. Those are virtues that real men have inculcated in their spirits and have stood against. But I want to just illustrate the point of connection. If we take, let's say, Fannie Willis, for example, she's connected to a Black Panther Marxist father, and nobody knows a thing about her mother. We have Letitia James, who is educated at Columbia University, the cesspool of Marxism that has contaminated this entire country. And then we have Tanya Culkin, who is the judge in the January 6th trial. Her roots are in Jamaica, where Norman and Michael Manley and their Marxist constituents no doubt had impact on her formative life before she came to the United States and enrolled in Georgetown University. Folks, we have to ask questions juxtaposed against just these three women. Fannie Willis, Letitia James, and Tanya Chutkan, is Donald J. Trump, the symbol of white male leadership in America, the symbol of the people who stand for authority and the people who stand for progress, who are focused against those people like the aforementioned names who stand really for anarchy in spite of their association with the law, or probably because of their association with it, and the people of prevention, of progress, of tearing down, of Black Lives Matter in the street, ripping apart. If this nation is to survive, we have to consider some things. I'm going to read you an article that I wrote on September the 3rd, 2003, submitted to the Florida Times Union, but not published, as was often the case with my articles to them. I said on September 3rd, 2003, after coming back from the most emotional, amazing, inexplicable event I have ever seen, I believe I witnessed just an act of God there. I just returned from Stark, where Paul Hill was executed. He was a pastor that shot an abortion doctor. I went in response to Mark Wood's column. He's used to be a Times Union columnist. I went in response to Mark Wood's column on ambivalence and as a witness to America's continuing moral demise. Both men are litmus test for that decline. Paul Hill and Mark Wood, no relation to me. One represents men poorly equipped for decision-making and leadership, men devoid of a firm moral foundation and, as a result, incapable of a stand on major issues of our day. The other had one. Right or wrong, that man forced us, and that's Paul Hill, to confront that issue. One illustrates what men have become, particularly today, folks. That's my insertion. One illustrates what men have become, irresolute, Mark Wood, newspaper guy. Another is what men once were, focused and objective. Historians like Toynbee have firmly proven that universal historical tendency. One acted to preserve life by taking it, was Paul Hill. He had to die, by law, to preserve the necessary rule of law. I support the justice of his execution, as he accepted that consequence. He did not fight he presented no legal defense at all. He shot the abortion doctor, and then he turned himself in. Anyway, continuing with my narrative, that Hill felt that he had to act and die is an indictment of what our society has become by permitting compromises like abortion in the first place. Failure of men today to be morally resolute has allowed effeminate politicians and judges to impose fatal ambivalence upon a nation that once stood for something, and I say a state that once stood for something in Georgia. As I learned as an Air Force pilot, ambivalence is fatal. You cannot serve two masters. It leads to things like the government of Italy, the Democrat Party, and the Episcopal Church in America. What a joke. We are not called to be all things to all men. Citizens are called to some national consensus, some common vision. Once it was moral objectivity, a pervasive Judeo-Christian ethic, and the just revolution of conflict. Today, and that's the day also of 2023, it is moral relativism, diversity, and conflict avoidance at all cost. Had men remained morally focused and just, the retrograde Paul Hill would not have acted, and the Florida Times Union's Mark Woods would never have had to serve as a real example of what is wrong in America, ambivalence and moral compromise. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm also now going to read you a brief extract from Mark Levin's book, The Democrat Party Hates America. And it's found on pages 196 and 197. I've just talked about principled men dying for a cause. Now listen to this. and compare it with these black female faces that stand against Mr. Trump. The single childless women in America are joining African Americans as the Democrat Party's most reliable supporters. Single childless women are joining African Americans as the Democrats' most reliable supporters. Therefore, never married single women, especially childless single women, are of enormous political benefit to the Democrat Party and its future electoral success. Thus, Biden and the party are acutely focused on catering to this demographic, and abortion is the key appeal. Soccer moms are giving way to single woke females. The new single woke female is one of the most potent voting blocks in American politics. This also explains why Biden transitioned from a so-called moderate on the issue of abortion to the most radical president ever. Queer studies often advocate replacing the nuclear family with some form of collectivized child rearing. Progressive groups like Black Lives Matter made their opposition to the nuclear family a part of their basic original platform, even though evidence shows family breakdown has hurt African American boys most of all. In addition to benefiting from the decline in marriage and the dismantling of the family, the Democrat Party has made clear that it intends to subjugate children, the younger the better, to the ideological and political purposes of that party. In fact, they brazenly say so in your face. I'd hope you'll come back for segment two of this final program 13 of this series. I'm Marshall Wood, your host. Look forward to seeing you on the backside. God bless you.